Greetings, hockey fans, for another edition of This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. Hopefully everybody had a great Christmas with the Christmas holiday getting past us now and the tournaments that go between Christmas and New Year's. A lot going on, so we'll cover some of the stuff we do have. And our usual panel is here, minus Del Scanlon, who's out doing Christmas things. So myself, Bill Berg, Bill Jr., and Trasher are all here. Let's move on, fellas. Pretty interesting week last week. I got to go and see one game last week, and it was a pretty doggone good one. It was right here in my town, in Janesville, as Janesville ended up taking on Beloit Memorial in the bragging rights for Rock County. And in this game, it was a Beloit 3-2 win. Now, Janesville for quite a while has had Beloit's number, but the tide's starting to turn a little bit more as Janesville has lost two straight to the boys from the southern part of the county. It was Beloit who got on the board first in the game as Beloit scored early in the game for a 1-0 lead. And that goal was early on a power play. It was called late in the first period. At the 0 in the clock. So Beloit had power play second. They won. Jake Benzing pounded one home with a Tyler Jen to make it 1-0 Beloit. Janesville, about 10 minutes later, comes back and gets a Tyler Perkins goal. Even strength goal. Kyler Cobbs helps out on it. 1-1. And we were tied. But that didn't stand for long. It wasn't even a minute later. Riley Jensen, a beautiful move. On an errant shot from the other end, he came all the way back around. He came down with it. He split the two defenders and beat the goalie on the short side. Brady Wright helped him out on that one, and it was a 2-1 Beloit lead. And then Beloit scored one more time in the second period. Brady Wright on the power play on the back side. Nate Poglaze and Riley Jensen both with assists on that to make it 3-1. But that wasn't the end of it, as Janesville came back. With 11:30 gone in the third period, Tyler Perkins scored another goal to make it a 3-2 game, an even strength goal with Nolan Frederick with the assist, and it was game on from there. I mean, it was pretty crazy. The 6.5 minutes to go, and it was up and down the ice, and finally Janesville got some opportunities to pull the goalie and got a couple faceoffs in the Beloit end, but nothing doing there as Janesville loses to Beloit 3-2 in a very entertaining game, and a lot of people came up from Beloit to watch that game. Taven Santucci had 15 shots on goal. He made 13 saves, and Jack Bostet stopped 30 of 33. So, guys, this is a matchup that a local matchup down here that really didn't disappoint. It's been just once for a while, but Beloit has pulled off the last two games in the series now, both of them by one goal. So Kurt Bukes' staff and has got some players this year who are very good players, and they're starting to make a little noise and make things interesting in the Big 8. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on. But, guys, that's what I got for you on that one, as Beloit beats Janesville 3-2 on the road. Move on now to our Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Game of the Week. The Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine provides cutting-edge personalized sports performance and injury prevention programs, training with world-class experts and state-of-the-art facilities and technology. Our Game of the Week, Antigo took on Northland Pines, and Burglar, you got to enjoy that one.
I did. It was nice because it wasn't that cold an evening. The old wooden dome up in Eagle River gets pretty cold when it's cold outside. But it was a pretty nice night. Gave Pines a chance in the cell of the week. Knew that Pines was a better team than that. Certainly better building it. As we've talked before, for my money anyway, the Eagle River Dome is greatest nice advantage that any school has in Wisconsin. Old, you know, the permanent built-in solid wood. You get some funny bounces off there. There's some areas that are dead. There's some areas that are lively. And they always, Northland Pines always seem to take advantage of the bounces up there. And they're just a better team up there in their barn. And they certainly played that way. Antigo had the advantage early in the first period. Spent a lot of time in the Northland Pines zone. About halfway through, Pines came back and kind of balanced it off for the remainder of that period. Antigo with a slight edge in shots in that first period. Northland Pines scored early in the second period. About 3 minutes in, there was a scramble down in the Antigo end. Ben Bartoletti, the Antigo goalie, was kind of down and out over on the left by the left post. Rebound came out to the right. Tyler Hunt was there by himself. Easy time to just tap the puck into the empty net. Gave Pines the one goal lead, and that kind of picked them up a little bit. They played very solid for the remainder of that period. Slight edge in shots in that period for Northland Pines. So the shots were even at 15 apiece after two periods with Pines having the one goal lead. Don't know why, but for some reason, I don't know if Northland Pines went into a shell, tried to maintain that one goal lead. But it was all Antigo in the third period. Well, all Antigo plus Ethan Polich, the goalie for Northland Pines. The majority of the period was spent in the Northland Pines, and Polich was just coming up big, save after save. Antigo had some really good chances. Polich was there, missed a couple of shots. Just solid until about 2:09 left in the third period. Antigo took a penalty. So normally the time you're talking about pulling your goalie to get an extra skater out there, Antigo is forced to pull their goalie just to make it 5-on-5 for skaters. But I guess they felt confident doing that since, you know, 5-on-5, they'd spent the majority of the time in the Northland Pines and anyway in that period. So they did pull their goaltender. Pines had cleared the puck out of the zone. Matt Winter, an Antigo defenseman, fired the puck in along the left boards, up over the boards, along the glass. Polich went behind the net to stop the puck behind the net when it came around the corner, except the puck hit a seam in the glass. And I've seen this numerous times on NHL highlight film, you know, on SportsCenter and stuff after games, but this is the first time I saw in person where the puck hit off a seam in the glass, the goaltender went behind the net, and the puck bounced directly into the net that Polich had vacated. He'd done an excellent job, and he was just trying to help his team out by stopping the puck behind the net. And all the crazy bounces, Antigo coach Matt Borneman said, in all the time he's played or coached up in Eagle River, it's the first time that one of those funny bounces actually went, you know, his way. And that tied the game for the Robins with 1:33 to go in the period. They took that momentum into overtime. It just took a minute and a half in overtime. Adam Schmidt found C.J. Levis uncovered in the slot, passed from behind the net out to Levis. Levis slammed it home, five-hole to give the Robins the lead. But just a very exciting game. It was a good atmosphere up there. It always is. The Northland Pines crowd, always, you know, very entertaining, very knowledgeable hockey fans. Just a good game. There was a ceremony after the game for a youth coach, Newt, they called him. I'm not, I should know what his full name was. Anyway, he's in his 50s, a youth coach, but actually had a heart attack during a men's pickup game earlier this month up in Eagle River, and he died. And they did a fundraiser to get a couple of those, what do they call them, AED defibrillation type devices. So they have one for each of the two ice sheets they have up there. And they did a short ceremony for him after the game. But just a very exciting game, as I was expecting and hoping for. And between these two teams, they're both unbeaten in the Great Northern Conference. Technically, they are tied each with 10 points. Northland Pines at 5-1, Antigua at 5-0. So, you know, slight statistical advantage puts the, I guess, would put the Robins in charge in the Great Northern Conference now.
You know, every once in a while you do see that where you ring the puck around the glass and it'll hit a seam, or it'll roll out by the goalie or something, but to go right in, wow, that's really something.
It was, and I was standing there at the perfect angle, and it's like, when I go to these games, I have to take Bob with me as a photographer, because I'm standing there, and I got the camera held up right in front of my face, and I'm watching the game. I see that bounce. I see the goalie. I see a defenseman lunging at the puck, and it's like, oh, he's not going to get it. Oh, it went in. You know, and I got this camera pointed right there, and it's like, push the button down and get the damn picture. But I'm watching the game, and I'm the camera's pointed there. I'm looking at it. Push the button down. You know, so I see all these beautiful things, but I don't remember to push the button down.
Mm. Talk about a funny bounce. Wow. Yeah. You hate to see pools like that determine games or, you know, have any impact on the game, but, you know, what do you do?
Especially the game that Polich had for Northland Pines. Mm-hmm. He was just on top of it. He was not giving up rebounds. The Northland Pines defense were doing a great job, you know, not letting the Robins in close, you know, keeping every shot from away. And you know, they just played such a sound game defensively to, you know, to give up a goal. And that counts as a goal against, you know, on him. You know, even though he, you know, technically it wasn't in the net at the time, he was behind it. But, yeah, that counts as a goal against on him. And he had just had a marvelous night.
You know, you see some funny ones happen like that. I remember the one back a few years ago at the showcase over in Minnesota where Team Wisconsin had a penalty coming up, and so they got the extra attacker on the ice, and one of our guys went to play it back to somebody, a defenseman, to start the play up and everything as we got the extra attacker, and left the puck back for him. He missed it.
Yeah.
And the puck rolled in the net. That was a tough one. That was a very tough one. All right, our girls' game of the week has Trasher. Well, Dell was at it, but Trasher is going to do his best Dell imitation and tell you about the Lake Chardon Lightning taking on the Kansas City Cougars. Michael.
Thanks, MJ. For games of the week, there were actually two pretty exciting games in the old... I can't get my computer to work here. The Mayo Clinic Sports Game of the Week. It was another one-goal game with the Cap City Cougars, a.k.a. Sun Prairie Co-op, edging the Lakeshore Lightning 1-0. This was on Thursday evening. It took 47 minutes for a goal to be scored, and Colleen Milligan had the honors for Sun Prairie with about 4 minutes left, and that was the scoring in the game. As I said, Sun Prairie Cap City won 1-0. Taylor Thornton had 19 saves and for the shutout for Cap City, while her cohort on the other end, I guess it would be her, I don't know what it would be called, Burglar would have to help me with the terminology here.
Colleague
on the other team, the same positional opponent, freshman, adversary goalie, freshman, by the way, Jaden Mirick, had 42 saves. She stopped 42 of 43, and pretty good effort for a freshman goalie in a big game like that, kind of following in the footsteps, or skate steps, as it were, of Aaron Connolly, who we all know was a pretty decent goalie for Lakeshore for 3 or 4 years down there. But this game belonged to the Cap City Cougars as they pulled out a 1-0 victory in the Mayo Clinic Sports game of the week, guys. That's all I got.
Let's move on to our Radisson Madison players of the week. The Radisson of Madison is Madison's premier Westside hotel and the official state tournament home of Wisconsin rep hockey. Burglar, tell us, who won, boys and girls?
On the boys' side, from Notre Dame. Notre Dame kind of surprised us, I would say, with a 7-4 upset win over number 3, Appleton United. And in that game, Bryce Poshak, a forward from Notre Dame, had 2 goals and 3 assists in that 7-4 win over Appleton. And then he followed it up with a goal a couple of days later in their 5-4 win, or 5-3 win over Verona. So for leading the charge for Notre Dame in a big week for them, Bryce Poshak is our Radisson Madison Boys Player of the Week. On the girls' side, a defenseman from Hayward, where they always seem to churn out great defenders, let's call them, Lauren Donnellan. She had a goal and 3 assists, taking part in all the scoring in a 4-3 win over Western Wisconsin, and that did include the game-winning goal, I believe. 4-3 win, and then she had 3 goals and 2 assists in a 9-1 win over the Spartans of Superior. So Lauren Donnellan, a defender from Hayward, is our girls' Radisson Madison Player of the Week. And did you guys say she's but a freshman?
We did. She is but a freshman, graduating in 2020, so that was a pretty nice effort for, let's call her, a rookie player in the high school leagues. Not too bad of an effort for the week.
I have a feeling we'll be hearing her name regularly for the next few years.
Well, at least the next 3.5.
Alrighty then.
Alrighty.
Top 10s. Junior has a note to pass along about the top 10s this week. Everybody's sitting on the edge of their seat wondering what happened. And Junior, tell us the policy that Wisconsin Prep Hockey has this time of year.
Well, it's not necessarily this time of year, MJ, but this year Christmas did fall on a Sunday, and that is typically the day that coaches and staff submit their top 10 votes. So it seems that everybody, literally everybody other than Trasher, had something better to do yesterday than submit top 10. Coaches and Wisconsin Prep Hockey staff alike. So there's no top 10 updates this week, as everybody was distracted with something else.
We'll have it again next week, correct?
Yes, sir.
Alrighty, sounds good. Our upcoming Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Games of the Week. Have coming up on Wednesday, Ergler going to travel over and check out Waukesha taking on Nina Hortonville Menasha at Showdown in Titletown on Wednesday. That should be a pretty good game. Both teams rated in the top 10, and we're going to have a report on that one from Burglar. He'll take care of us there and cover that. And on the girls' side, St. Croix Valley taking on USM at the Culver's Cup. And guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Dell Scanlon's going to be at that one.
We're going to say yes, because he can't argue with us.
And that's what he
so
said.
We're going to tell him he has to go there, whether we think that's what he said or not.
Whether he thinks that's what he said or not. Okay. I'm all for that. Well, the show is mercifully coming to an end here as we get ready for the beginning of the new year and a lot of hockey to still be played and a lot of things still to be determined in this season, the 2016-2017 season.
Oh, can I ask something, though?
Yeah.
With it's all holiday tournaments this week. I think every game scheduled is part of a holiday tournament. So get your scores posted early, because that gives us a chance to update the schedule for the next day. You know, because like the schedule now for tournaments that start on Wednesday, there's a bunch of to-be-determines on Thursday. So get those scores in. Get those scores in to us early so we can get you know, the schedule straightened away for the following day. Please?
He said, please. How do you say no to burglar? I just don't think you do. Final thought. I had a final thought that I wanted to cover. I wanted to take a look at the Big 8 conference this year. What a wacky conference. I mean, just looking at the standings here, Verona is the only team that's unbeaten in conference. Verona has a 5-0 record, so they haven't played everybody yet. But as I look down, Madison West 4-1, Middleton 4-2, Sun Prairie 4-3, Janesville 3-3, Beloit Memorial 3-4, Madison Memorial 1-4, and the Eastside Lakers bringing up the rear, winless in conference play. But this conference is crazy this year. I mean, any team on any night stands a chance of beating another team. And it's been downright crazy. For example, Janesville, my team that I follow being where I am, goes and beats Madison West 7-0 and really made Madison West look bad at it. Yet Madison West will come back, and when I flip through the schedule, this is just how crazy this is this year. Madison West comes back, and they end up winning games over teams that beat Janesville. I mean, it's just that kind of season. Teams are just beating teams that just don't make any sense. You kind of think you got your finger on the pulse, and you realize, no, you don't. Oh, yeah, here's what I meant. Beloit Memorial got beat by Madison West 4-3. Madison West got killed by Janesville 7-0. Beloit Memorial beat Janesville 3-2. I mean, figure it out. The conference is just wacky this year. Every time I think I've got it figured out, I don't. So I kind of give up on it a little bit. But nonetheless, I guess that any Big 8 team that comes into play this season in Big 8 conference play, be prepared because the Trasher Jinx may be hitting you in one way or another.
Now, I have a question, MJ. You said every time you think you've got it figured out, you end up having to give up. Are you talking about the Big 8 conference or your weekly battle with Skype?
No, the Big 8 conference. The weekly battle with Skype, I think I figured it out this week. I would have been already to go 20 minutes early.
He was actually waiting for us. He had sent me a text that he was patiently waiting for us to include him in the call.
Well, sure, I'm sure he logged in an hour early today.
Who said I was patient? It just said waiting. But you know, guys, in this Big 8 conference this year, like Beloit Memorial, they are 3-4 overall. But you know what? They have a first line that is really, really good. And watching them the other night against Janesville, they played fantastic. But it's one of those things where you get in some games, but earlier in the week, you know, Janesville beat Middleton 3-2 in overtime. Middleton shuts out Beloit 5-0. I mean, you just can't figure it out. And I think I'm just going to give up trying and just let the season play out the way it is. Although, guys, I gotta please drop something out here. As I looked on the standings here, as I talked about the Eastside Lakers, they're winless on the season. They've scored 3 goals all year. The 3 goals they scored was in a non-conference win. It's been a tough season for the Lakers, and hopefully good things will happen and maybe get it turned around a little bit. But right now, obviously, it's got to be pretty difficult.
Hey, there is one other thing we can maybe chat about for a second if you'd like to. I see our friend Jeff Roshan sent us his first edition of the stack rankings for the year to give us maybe a little different perspective of how the numbers see the teams playing out in the state. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to look at that yet or not.
No, just go ahead. I'm kind of interested, guys. You interested?
I looked at them. I think they really are just the first computer rankings of the year. I think that they'll probably change more this week to next than the top 10 will have at any point this season. There are some goofy things in those numbers. Appleton United is way down in the low teens. Notre Dame is way down in the low teens. Now, they're not in our rankings in the last couple top tens, but I don't know. There's just some teams that are way down low. No, Eau Claire North is ahead of Eau Claire Memorial. I don't see certain things panning out the way they are in the stack rankings yet.
Well, I'll just a quick rundown of the top 10 so people can kind of see comparatively how things are laying out here. Stevens Point is ranked number one in the stack rankings, and these are not the top 10. This is the stack rankings top 10. Second is Hudson, third is Wausau West, fourth is Arrowhead, fifth is Fox Cities, sixth, Nina Hortonville, Menasha, seventh, Eau Claire North, eighth, Waukesha, ninth, Antigo, 10th, University School. So, I mean, most of the top 10 teams match, I think, as far as being in the top 10. It's just kind of where they're positioned. So, yeah, I think you're right. You know, this is the first iteration of the stack rankings. Jeff does a really good job on this. But I think you're going to see what happened to us happen to him. There's going to be a little bit of movement, and you're going to wonder, how did that happen? But, hey, welcome to Pete Rozelle's version of high school hockey in 2016.
Yeah, there's just lots of parity, I guess you could say. So, guys, we'll keep tabs on things as this is our last edition of This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey for the year. It's been a fun year, and 2017 we'll keep more going out to our listeners and try to bring you a better program, try to bring you even a better website. But any help that we get from people along the way in terms of scores would be greatly appreciated. Nobody wants to argue with me about it. Okay.
No, great. That doesn't argue there.
Okay. Time to take us home, boys. For Bill Jr., Trasher, Dell, wherever he may be, I'm Mike Hammett. Hopefully you enjoyed this week's edition of This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey.